El siguiente es un programa pagado por el anunciante y 1600 AM no se hace responsable por las opiniones reflejadas en su contenido.
This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlo Dermogradichian. Today, my guest is Dr. Anne Karagozyan. And I've asked Dr. Karagozyan to come on our show today because she is the director of the Promise Armenian Institute at UCLA. But she is also the distinguished professor in the Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at UCLA and several other projects that she's working on in her professional career. And I'd like to welcome her to All Things Armenian. Welcome, Anne.
Great. Thank you so much, Barlo.
Thank you for joining us. I thought we could start off a little bit by talking about your background, because I was looking at your career and your research, and it was just fascinating about your interests. Let's go back to UCLA, and you went to UCLA, and tell us a little bit about what you were studying and about some of your career choices.
Oh, sure. Well, I was an undergraduate at UCLA many decades ago, actually. I studied engineering with an emphasis on mechanical engineering and aerospace. After graduating, I went to Caltech for my master's and PhD, where I, again, kind of focused on both mechanical and aerospace engineering kinds of topics in fluid mechanics, combustion with energy and propulsion types of applications. And then after my degree, I came back to UCLA. I was asked to come back as a faculty member. And so I've actually been a faculty member there for over 38 years now. So during that period, I've continued to pursue my research, again, that has mainly energy and propulsion types of applications, both aircraft types of propulsion systems and rocket, chemical rocket propulsion.
And when you were going to UCLA, I mean, going back the decades that you spoke about, it was unusual for, I think, women to get involved in engineering. And so tell us a little bit about your own decision making. How did you go into engineering? Was that always an interest for you, or was that something you gained later?
I would say I always enjoyed math, and later in my high school career came to really love physics as well. I wasn't sure at all that engineering was something I was going to major in. I knew a few engineers, but neither of my parents were engineers. But I began to take a few classes at UCLA that pertain to engineering. Actually, when I was in high school, they had a high school program, and the classes in problem solving were very intriguing for me. And when I continued as a freshman, I continued to work in that area. So it felt like the opportunities there were opening up for me, even though, as you say, there were not a lot of women students at the time. I continued to take those classes. As I say, I felt led to be studying in this field, and the opportunities really opened up, although it was an unusual period for sure to be studying in engineering.
And I also want to talk a little bit about that period, because I was reading it said you also, when you were in high school, were taking an Armenian literature courses or a course at UCLA. Is that right?
Yeah, remarkably. They had this wonderful program that does not exist any longer for local high school students to take a few classes at UCLA if they wanted to. And one class that fit into my schedule early on was an Armenian literature class in the English language, taught by Professor Avadi Sanjan, the late Professor Avadi Sanjan, who was the occupier of UCLA's Natakatsi chair in Armenian language and literature. And it was a fascinating class. I truly began to appreciate then, even though I had to an extent before, the beauty of Armenian literature and language to an extent, but it was all in English. It was a terrific class, though.
Well, it's quite interesting because I started going to UCLA in 1980, and I entered into the program, Armenian Studies program at UCLA in Near Eastern Languages with Professor Sanjan. So he was my teacher and my advisor while I was at UCLA. So that's a really good connection there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you went and took Armenian literature classes, but let's talk a little bit about your own background, Armenian background, and tell us a little bit about your family and a little bit about their history and your own history. Were you always living in Southern California, or did you move there from somewhere else?
Yeah, pretty much. I was born in Los Angeles. I'm a second generation Armenian American. So both my parents were born in this country. My dad was born in Fresno, actually. My mother was born in Chicago. My four grandparents were able to escape to the United States directly from their hometowns in historic Armenia, present day Turkey. Before, in most cases, the genocide had started, but in one case after. And so we were blessed to grow up, my sister and I, in Southern California in a loving Armenian-American community and home. We grew up regularly attending the Armenian Protestant churches in Los Angeles, first Emmanuel Armenian Congregational Church, which is now in Downey, and probably for about 45 years now or more, United Armenian Congregational Church. But during my growing up years, we did periodically attend the Lusav Orchagan Church with my maternal grandparents. They attended St. James Armenian Church near LAX, and we attended the Saturday Armenian schools. They didn't really have Armenian day schools back in those days, but we did attend the Saturday school. So we made a lot of friends throughout the community, I would say. My parents were quite active in several Armenian organizations while I was growing up, besides in our churches. My parents were especially active in the Knights and Daughters of Vartan. My mother was the grand matron in the 1970s. They were also quite active in the Armenian Allied Arts Association, AGBU, some of the other organizations. So during our growing up years, we attended many Armenian community events in Southern California. And sometimes we knew some of the kids there, sometimes we did not. But I kind of look back at that period as one where I got to know some of these young people through the activities that were going on. For example, Armenian dancing. That's how we got to know people from, you know, different communities that we had not met before.
And so you stayed pretty active. You have stayed fairly active in the Armenian community through church and through your organizations, through your parents, and through the friends that you have met.
Yes, I would say so. I mean, I've mainly, as an adult, been active in our church, United Armenian Congregational Church. I've been in the choir, Sunday school teacher, you know, on various boards. But I've also served on the AMAA board most recently, the Armenian Missionary Association of America, years before that on the Haigazian University board. I've most recently served on the and continue to serve on the Board of Trustees of the American University of Armenia, which operates under the auspices of the University of California. So my service there is actually as a UC faculty member. I'm one of UCLA's representatives to that board. So that activity is sort of straddled my professional life and my private life, so to speak, or my Armenian life. That was the first one, I guess.
Have you had the opportunity to travel to Armenia through that connection through AUA?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to Armenia actually only twice. I had planned to go last year, but the pandemic prohibited that. But both times I've gone, it's been largely because of AUA board meetings, but, and I've also done some sightseeing that they made available to us. And in addition, because I was on the AMAA board, I visited some of the facilities for that, the Shulk centers that they have, child care centers, some of the schools, Avedisian School outside of Yerevan, perhaps you've heard of. And, of course, the monasteries, which are just magnificent, just breathtaking for me.
And your connection with AUA is interesting, too, because professionally as an engineer, AUA was established primarily as a graduate program in engineering, earthquake, with the late Dr. Agbabian, Armen Derguerian. So you have a lot of connections with the AUA.
Yeah, absolutely. And in recent years, they have built up a lot of their entrepreneurial activities that build on the engineering and mathematics, data science, computer science. These are all areas that continue to be built up at the AUA, kind of contributing to Armenia's technical and technological foundation. So it's been very gratifying to see those enhancements.
And all of those experiences, those life experiences, those connections have kind of come to fruition also now with this new Promise Armenian Institute. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. Actually, that's the main reason that we're talking today is to discuss the Promise Armenian Institute, which was established at UCLA in late 2019. So please tell us about its establishment, how it was established, and your role in it.
Okay. Well, as you say, the Promise Armenian Institute was established a little bit over a year ago. I was actually named the inaugural director of the Institute almost exactly a year ago. It was created by UCLA and established through an endowment that was made from the Kirk Kerkorian estate. It was established through the vision largely of Dr. Eric Israelian, who was a very well-known physician and philanthropist. He was one of the executive producers of the movie The Promise. And it's really an entity that is designed not only to have very strong components in Armenian studies, but also more broadly in interdisciplinary areas that relate different fields that are pursued at UCLA, medicine, architecture, archaeology, sociology, and how they influence and are affecting Armenia, Armenians, and how these fields can be enhanced through these kind of interdisciplinary connections. The Institute also is designed to have public impact, and this is something that we've striven to enhance even since the pandemic closed much of what we had planned to do, and especially, of course, after the war was initiated. A lot of our programming has been focused in that area and is continuing to focus in that area. So it's a fairly broad-based institute. At UCLA, it is housed under our International Institute, which consists of about 25 or so centers and institutes pertaining to different parts of the world. So that's where the Promise Armenian Institute lies.
Well, I'm curious, did you know Dr. Israelian? Were you involved in the early conversations about the Promise Institute?
I know Dr. Israelian and have known him for quite a few years, but through other work that I have done at UCLA and some of the leadership positions I've held, I was involved not that extensively, actually, with the early discussions on the Institute. I did have conversations with some of the folks involved in organizing and planning it, but not very extensively.
And it is a $20 million gift, which was established. So I imagine that's been invested in a endowment, and then the Promise Institute will use the income, or are they going to be using that the actual gift itself?
Well, the way things typically work is you take a relatively small fraction of the total funds, and you use that during your ramp-up period, and the rest goes into the endowment. And as the endowment grows, eventually you build your operations based on the income from the endowment. So that's the plan at the moment.
And do you have an office at UCLA? Do you have staff already as you begin to ramp up?
Well, good question. You know, we do have offices that have been designated for the Promise Armenian Institute. They are in the north part of our campus in a building called Bunch Hall, which you may recall from your time at UCLA. I do have a full-time program representative, very, very dedicated and energetic young woman named Hasmik Bagdasaryan, originally from Armenia. She's our main staff member. But because the pandemic closed things down just as we were ramping up, I have not physically occupied the offices, neither has Hasmik, and we have mostly been working from home since then. As an engineering faculty member, I do go to my engineering office for our research that takes place in my field, but otherwise right now, we are working remotely, but eventually we'll get back onto the campus. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, I know Bunch Hall very well because I used to take courses from Professor Hovhannisyan in history in Bunch Hall, and
yeah.
I used to actually work up on the sixth floor at in his office working with oral histories of Armenian genocide. So it's a place I know very well.
Yes, I actually was able, I was blessed to be able to take one class from him during my undergraduate time. That's all that I could fit into my schedule, but it was a wonderful experience. He's a very, very gifted speaker, I'm sure, as you know.
My guest today is Dr. Anne Karagozyan. She is the director, inaugural director of the Promise Armenian Institute at UCLA. We're going to take a brief pause on All Things Armenian, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlow Dermogradichian. It's my pleasure to have with me today Dr. Anne Karagozyan. She's the inaugural director of the Promise Armenian Institute and also a distinguished professor in the Department of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering at UCLA. It's been a pleasure talking to you so far, Anne. Great to have you here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
And we had left right before the break, just talking a little bit about the Promise Institute and its establishment. And I was reading that you had a couple of initiatives that you wanted to start with. And of course, the pandemic kind of pushed everything aside. But can you tell us about a couple of the first initiatives that you were planning to do?
Yes, well, a couple of them have come to pass, although they had to take place remotely. We had wanted to have a distinguished lecture series, and that has started. Professor Taner Akçam of Clark University, who is a very well-known scholar and researcher who's investigated evidence for the planning and execution of the Armenian Genocide, so he gave two distinguished lectures. They were supposed to have taken place in person last spring, but we were very, very happy to welcome him to give these lectures via the Zoom webinar format, and they were very successful. Hundreds of people listened live and then have listened since then. We also had planned to hold two conferences, one of which I'm hoping will be convened in the next couple of months. The first one we had planned to hold was focused actually on healthcare and healthcare outreach to the Republic of Armenia. And this was to take place in early March, remarkably. The Minister of Health was going to be visiting Los Angeles. And so we had organized groups who do regular healthcare outreach to the Republic of Armenia and to Artsakh. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with many of them, and representatives from those groups were going to convene. We were going to talk about what works, what doesn't work, communicate directly with the Minister of Health. And sadly, this was actually the first inkling I got as to the seriousness of the novel coronavirus and COVID-19. He contacted us in late February and said, "I can't leave. This is really starting to explode, this disease in Iran. We've closed our borders," and so forth. And so the conference had to be canceled. But, you know, interestingly, poignantly in many ways, you know, our healthcare outreach from UCLA has considerably expanded, first because of the COVID outbreaks there. A number of our physicians, public health specialists, doctors, nurses have either sent expertise, gone themselves, or sent equipment and supplies to Armenia, first because of COVID, and then later after the outbreak of the war in late September, a number of teams have gone to Armenia, have provided advice to Armenian physicians. Some Armenian and non-Armenian have gone there, performed surgeries, demonstrated surgeries, and so forth to bolster the healthcare infrastructure there, which has just been overwhelmed. It's bad here even now, but it's just been truly tragic there. So this is sort of a long-winded answer to your question, but the healthcare outreach conference, we are hoping to hold, not necessarily with people in person, of course, but talking about what kinds of resources have been provided, how better to coordinate things. So we've had extensive discussions with our UCLA Health so-called Operation Armenia outreach team about that. So that's one thing that had to be canceled, but we hope to reconvene sometime in the next few months. And then we were going to have another conference that was building on the 2019 acknowledgement of and recognition of the Armenian Genocide by both houses of the U.S. Congress, future, you know, steps that could be taken from a legal perspective, cultural genocide as well. There were many legal facets that we were beginning to discuss with a couple of different Armenian organizations in Southern California, but also with another institute at UCLA called the Promise Institute for Human Rights. And that institute actually is housed in our law school. It was an institute that was also endowed by Dr. Israelian through the Kerkorian estate. And that institute has focused on human rights for several years. It's several years older than our Promise Armenian Institute, but this was going to be our first joint event. That, too, had to be canceled. We hope to reschedule something of that sort in the future. But another event that is coming up that perhaps your listeners will be interested in is an online panel discussion that we plan to hold jointly with the Promise Institute for Human Rights. And it's coming up very soon, actually, February 2nd. We're starting to advertise this quite widely. And this is going to be a discussion among several of the UCLA healthcare personnel who have gone to Armenia and or to Artsakh recently since the war started, since it ended in some cases. And they are going to be talking about their observations, the kinds of injuries that they observed, the overwhelming of the healthcare system there, especially, you know, the initiation of war in the midst of a pandemic. And not only to describe that very profoundly difficult situation, but to have a discussion from a human rights perspective. And the executive director of the Promise Institute for Human Rights at UCLA, Kate McIntosh, is a specialist in this area. She's an attorney who has extensive experience in human rights, but has worked for and with Doctors Without Borders for many years. And so that kind of perspective, you know, medical slash legal slash human rights violations will be the subject of a relatively short panel. It's about an hour and 15 minutes or so on February 2nd at noon. So some of the events that transpired in 2020 that we never dreamed would happen a year ago have caused us to rethink a lot of the programming we had planned and to refashion them so that it addresses many of the concerns and issues that all of us as Armenians in the diaspora feel, and of course as the people of Armenia and Artsakh very personally feel.
You talked about the Promise Institute at for Human Rights at the School of Law, and I was just interested, does the Promise Armenian Institute, which you are now the director of, does it coordinate activities with some of the other groups? Or because I guess the Promise Institute, you said, was predating the Promise Armenian Institute, is it relationship just a matter of consultation and kind of planning so that people don't do the same things at the same time? Or how does that work?
I think there's a little more than just consultation. The faculty director of the Promise Institute for Human Rights is a very well-regarded attorney and faculty member in the law school, Asla Bali, and she is actually on our faculty advisory committee for the Promise Armenian Institute. She has discussed with us possible joint programming, and so this upcoming panel discussion is as an outcome of those discussions. Interestingly, Asla is one of a number of individuals I've met in the last year, I would say, who are ethnically Turkish, who are very outspoken about recognition of the Armenian genocide, and especially in her case, human rights issues, violations by the Republic of Turkey. It's really been very gratifying to speak with these scholars. Taner Akçam is another, I'm sure you must know him. And so it's really been a very wonderful, though preliminary, kind of partnership, I would say, with the Promise Institute for Human Rights. So we hope to conduct other events jointly as well. As I say, we were going to have this event of a legal nature last year, and we'll hope to do something like that in the coming in this calendar year, I hope.
And where can our listeners go if they are interested in listening in on that conference? Is there a website or a place that they can go to?
Yes. If you visit our Promise Armenian Institute website at UCLA, you will see some of our news articles as well as our upcoming and recent events. So all of the events that we have produced so far have been recorded using the Zoom platform, but also displayed on YouTube. And so you'll be able to see all of our prior programming as well as the upcoming events. So there are links right now to these events that are scheduled, and you can sign up for them, you know, register, and then you will be sent a unique Zoom link so that you can use it at the proper time. If you have trouble finding our website, just do an internet search for the words UCLA, Armenian, and Promise, and you should find it.
Well, you talked about the initiatives. We just talked about a little bit about the Institute for Human Rights. You were talking about health initiatives. Another initiative is the establishment of the Armenian Studies Center. So tell us a little bit about the thought behind that, how that was established, and a little bit about its plans. And I know its director, but we'll be talking maybe to him directly later in a future program. But tell us a little bit about how that came about as part of the greater Promise Armenian Institute.
Yes, well, within this Promise Armenian Institute, which is the umbrella organization for much of what we do at UCLA involving Armenia and Armenians, we have this center called the Armenian Studies Center. As you mentioned, it's headed by Professor Sebu Aslanian, who is a very well-known scholar of Armenian history. His specialization is in early modern and modern Armenian history. But it also involves not only Armenian history, but Armenian language and literature. That has been conducted historically under the auspices of the Narakhatsi Chair, another endowed chair at UCLA in the Near Eastern Languages and Cultures Department. Professor Peter Cowie is now the holder of the Narakhatsi Chair. Previously, it was Professor Avadis Sanjan. Sebu also has an endowed chair, the Richard Hovhannissian Chair, named in honor of our longtime Armenian history faculty member, Professor Richard Hovhannissian. And it's largely events and lectures and talks that will be taking place in Armenian language, literature, history, and some of the support for students in those fields that kind of are included in this Armenian Studies Center. But I will say there is a bit of a fluidity between what is advertised and what right now is taking place within the center and what takes place more broadly in the Armenian the Promise Armenian Institute. So, for example, when the war was initiated against Artsakh Nagorno-Karabakh by Azerbaijan in late September, our faculty advisory committee got together, and we, of course, wanted to provide appropriate programming and discussion, you know, concerning this very, very difficult situation. Many in the Armenian diaspora were not as familiar with Nagorno-Karabakh or Artsakh, perhaps, as they were the Republic of Armenia. And so Professor Aslanian volunteered to organize a day-long conference on Nagorno-Karabakh, Artsakh, its historical perspectives, geopolitical, strategic aspects of this autonomous oblast, as it operated for a long, long time, And it was a wonderfully successful Zoom-based conference. It was under the auspices of the Armenian Studies Center, but also the Promise Armenian Institute, sort of a dual kind of sponsorship. But we also had sponsorship from many external organizations, such as Nasser, I believe the Society for Armenian Studies, Ararat Eskijian Museum, and also our UCLA Center for Near Eastern Studies. So this was a very intriguing conference. It was held at the end of October, not long before the ceasefire agreement and peace that was established. So it was a very almost treacherous time, I would say, and for many of us, our eyes were opened when very knowledgeable individuals were discussing what was happening right then and there during the war. And I think many of us have gone back and listened to that that webinar and, you know, come to appreciate so much more what was really happening, what was taking place.
Wanted to ask you, organizationally, you have so many activities going on. I imagine that it's hard to keep track of it, and you would like to get input. Do you have a formal advisory board or a formal group that you can sit down with to discuss future activities and future directions?
Yes, we have a very helpful and well-regarded group of UCLA faculty who are on our internal faculty advisory board or committee, and they're on our listed on our website. They come from, you know, Armenian studies, Armenian history, but also law, Armenian music. We have a very well-regarded Armenian music program that Professor Mavses Vosian heads, sociology Professor Victor Agajanian. But I would say one of the widest-ranging programs that is also under the umbrella of the Promise Armenian Institute is our healthcare outreach to the Republic of Armenia and Artsakh. One of the leaders of that group is Professor Shant Shekhardimian, a very energetic young man who is a pediatric surgeon who I believe right now is back in Armenia. He's gone back and forth to Armenia several times, even in the last year, even during COVID. And UCLA Health, in partnership with our Promise Armenian Institute, has provided extensive outreach. They send supplies, personnel, equipment. There's a great need right now in the hospitals there for oxygen machines to enable those suffering from COVID to be able to survive and recover. And so we've sent a couple of oxygen machines there. A cochlear implant specialist from UCLA, Dr. Ishihara, went with a team very recently and performed cochlear implant surgeries there, observing all the damage that had been done to eardrums and so forth during the war. So that kind of activity has almost taken on a life of its own within the Promise Armenian Institute, and it's huge. It involves many faculty, staff, healthcare providers, Armenian and non-Armenian, from the UCLA Health team. And this has been funded through the generosity of Dr. Israelian, completely separately from his endowment, because he is so dedicated to the preservation of the Republic and of Artsakh.
My guest today is Dr. Anne Karagozian. She's the director of the Promise Armenian Institute. We've been discussing some of their initiatives and what they've been doing, and we'll be back on All Things Armenian in just a moment after a brief break. Thank you.
To All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlow Demirgradichian. During our breaks today, we've been listening to excerpts from the soundtrack of the movie Ararat, which was originally scored by Michael Dana. We were listening to two pieces, Silent Witness and the more recent All That Is Sacred. So really a very nice soundtrack from the Ararat movie. My guest today is Dr. Anne Karagozyan. She's the director of the Promise Armenian Institute. We've been discussing the activities, the outreach programs, and plans for the newly established Institute, which was only established in 2019. And Dr. Karagozyan, you've been appointed, you just told us earlier, about a year ago. So tell me a little bit about that. How do you manage to fit all of this in with your other work?
Well, it's sometimes challenging, I would say, especially in light of COVID and some of the adjustments we've had to make for that. My appointment as the inaugural director is such that I still maintain my main faculty appointment in engineering. So I still have an active research lab. I have about, half a dozen students who are doing research, some experimental, some computational. So managing that plus building up the institute has been challenging. But on the other hand, we've had a lot of enthusiasm for the activities of the center, and I'm very grateful that the Zoom webinar format has enabled us to provide programming that reaches around the world. I mean, during our Nagorno-Karabakh Artsakh conference, there were participants and people who viewed the conference from Armenia, from Turkey, from South America, all over the globe, even Australia. So it's been challenging, but, you know, we've been able to make the best of it, I think.
Well, the Institute is located within the UCLA campus in UCLA, and I was going to ask you, how is the support from administration, from the chancellor to other administrators? How do they see the Promise Institute?
I think there's been very widespread enthusiasm for the Promise Armenian Institute, and, you know, most of them are very aware of how it came about, Dr. Israelian's emphasis in this area, and they're very grateful for the creation of the Institute. I've received nothing but enthusiastic responses from other Institute leaders. The Center for Near Eastern Studies, for example, which includes, you know, many parts of the Middle East, majority Muslim countries, they have been enthusiastic co-sponsors of many of our events. I've also engaged with faculty in other areas to co-sponsor individuals that I had not heard about in the past, the so-called Scholars at Risk, who are at UCLA, individuals whose scholarly work is cutting edge but controversial in the country from which they have come, and where it would be a risk for them to return to their country. And so when the issues associated with those scholars at risk pertain to Armenians, Armenian genocide, that type of field, we've been happy to co-sponsor such individuals. And the faculty at UCLA who've been kind of shepherding these scholars at risk are not ethnically Armenian. They're in other fields, but they are aware of the sensitivity of some of these issues. There's widespread, you know, very positive response, I'd say.
That's great. And I think as it moves forward, they're going to be happy to have the Promise Armenian Institute based at UCLA. We were talking earlier about some of the various areas that the Promise Armenian Institute was involved with, included health outreach programs. We talked a little bit about the human rights program and about the Armenian Studies Center. Are there some other areas that you're already working in that you can tell us about, some other areas either at UCLA or with partners?
Yes, actually, we have started an interdisciplinary seed grant program, and much of this is going to be advertised much more widely in the near future. But this past year, we funded a seed grant in the area of Armenian genomics, building on some prior private support for that area, where some researchers, a very well-known genetics faculty member, Professor Wayne Grody, has endeavored to do genetic sequencing and analysis of DNA samples from Armenia. And they are expanding on that. This past year, we agreed to fund them. And remarkably, the DNA samples they happened to collect in the early part of 2020 came from Artsakh. And so there is this kind of interdisciplinary linkage, I would say, between the scientific genomics analysis, and they've already characterized many components of Armenian genome from other populations of Armenians, and you know, our history, our migration patterns, connections with other peoples of the region, and so forth. So that's been a very exciting project. Ethnomusicology also is an area that we've invested in. As you might be aware, Komitas was kind of the founder of the field of ethnomusicology. And so within our School of Music at UCLA, there is a vibrant and growing program in Armenian music, the Armenian music program headed by Professor Movses Polosyan, who is our violin professor, the lead violin professor for UCLA music. And so he has established ensembles, educational program. There's been education in ethnomusicology pertaining to Armenian music. There's an Armenian jazz ensemble. It's really quite remarkable. And this year, in a COVID year where people have to be trained remotely, work together but remotely, this has been exceptionally challenging. And yet they've risen to the challenge by providing small concerts online. The young woman who is the lead singer in this group actually did a bake sale and baked, you know, Armenian goods. She's not ethnically Armenian at all, but she was just so touched by all that was going on during the war that she raised a few thousand dollars for this purpose. So there are parts of our campus. UCLA is such a vast entity, and so many scholarly areas are covered by our campus. So many of them have the potential for interaction with other parts that pertain to Armenia or Armenians. And it's been very gratifying to see the enthusiasm of such faculty in engaging with others.
And does your institute then, for instance, with the ethnomusicology program, does it provide financial support for programs, or do you help them in other ways? What do you envision as your connection?
The connection is partially financial to help support instruction in that area, and potentially research as well. So, you know, we don't have unlimited resources, of course. As we mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you know, we're kind of operating under a small fraction of the endowment, and I hope in the future to be able to operate under the proceeds from the investment. But whenever we can, you know, we're encouraging these young folks in particular who have wonderful scholarly capabilities and who are really pushing the field forward. And so we're happy to contribute in some of these areas, ethnomusicology, women's studies, sociology, and the like.
And earlier we were talking a little bit about the outreach programs to Armenia. Now, especially after the war, of course, there's been humanitarian efforts as well as in the areas of health, I mean, related, of course. Can you tell us about anything, any initiatives directly also with Artsakh that you mentioned? Maybe you can elaborate on.
Well, the personnel from UCLA who've been sent to Armenia and Artsakh, you know, have contributed in both locations. In some cases, it's been mainly humanitarian types of outreach and contributions. In others, I would say the majority, though, is in medical outreach, so sending equipment, unique equipment or unique components, such as a gold piece that was required for the cochlear implant work that Dr. Ishiyama was doing. My guess is that that work is going to expand in the future. There have been shipments. If you take a look at our website, there is an informal kind of partnership with the Armenian International Medical Group that has done extensive outreach over many years to Armenia and to Artsakh. We have psychologists that are providing advice and counseling for soldiers, others who've been traumatized by war, and helping the psychologists there in Armenia and also in Artsakh to counsel and deal with the patients. I mean, we even had a counseling session that our Promise Armenian Institute coordinated with a very dedicated young psychologist at UCLA, Dr. Valentina Ogarian, because we found that our own Armenian-American students at UCLA were experiencing trauma. They had friends that had died in the war. They had relatives who left Southern California or wherever their home was and gone to Armenia to fight in the war. So this war had repercussions in the lives of many of our young students at UCLA, and she held sessions with them, helping them, and she has also done wonderful outreach to Armenia. So my guess is these programs and activities are only going to grow in the future.
And you do have sort of, it seems to me, two sort of broad focuses. One is the research and teaching area, and the other is the public impact programs that you've been talking about. Is that kind of correct at this point? You're kind of two major areas that you're focusing on?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's what we as faculty are supposed to be engaged in at UCLA and at other universities, research, teaching, and service. And service can be writ large. It's service to your institution, but also to society, to your profession. And so there are a great many directions that we can build on in the Promise Armenian Institute. I was even chatting last year with a friend of mine who works in research at Amazon and on character recognition software that can be used in multiple languages, of course, which exists, but it's not perfect. And then how does one apply that to handwritten documents? There's a great interest, I think, that many of us have in transcribing handwritten documents that some of us possess from our grandparents or that exist from centuries ago in the Armenian language, and how can this be, you know, documented and also translated more easily. So there are many, many different directions that we can grow in our institute. So this is what's so exciting, to be at a large university where you have these scholarly capabilities almost at your fingertips.
My guest today has been Dr. Anne Karagozyan. She's the director of the Promise Armenian Institute at UCLA. It's been really great talking to you, Anne. Thank you so much for sharing so many interesting facts and plans about the Promise Armenian Institute.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm delighted to have chatted with you, Barlow. Thank you for the opportunity.
And I want to let our listeners know again that the Armenian Studies program at Fresno State has a couple of upcoming events. They are Zoom events, virtual events. On Saturday, January the 30th at 10 a.m., we'll have a presentation called The Artsakh War and Armenia, a conversation with Eric Akopian. And that will be at 10 o'clock. And you can go on our website at Armenian Studies Fresno State to register online. Eric Akopian is a political consultant, and he's been living in Armenia for the past 3 years. And on Saturday, February the 6th at 10 o'clock, Dr. Vahram Shemassian, Director of Armenian Studies at California State University, Northridge, will be speaking about his new book, The Armenians of Musada, From Obscurity to Genocide, Resistance, and Fame, 1840 to 1915. Same thing, you can go online to register for those. For All Things Armenian, this is Professor Barlow Dermagradichin wishing you a good week ahead, and we'll see you next week for another episode of All Things Armenian.
Tune in to All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Este fue un programa pagado y solo refleja la opinión de sus anunciantes. Ahora continúa disfrutando de la programación de 1600 AM.